joining us. Okay. Let me just start off on a word of prayers, people coming in. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this morning that we can meet online and just talk and share and really hear what you would have to say to us as a church, Lord, as individuals, Lord, as a family, Lord. And I thank you for that you still speak to us, Lord. It means that we have hope, Lord, and that you want to invest in us, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. We pray that you would lead us in this time. And we just thank you for today. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Hi, Kim.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, again. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, let's start. So today, what we're going to do is I'm going to finish up the topic of go, and we're going to transition to welcome. Okay, so go, I do want to share a verse. Okay, so just kind of review what we talked about go. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the importance of going, right? And we looked at the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And we see that this is like God's central mission for us, right? To go. And so none of us would say that, oh, it's not important, right? Obviously, we say, yes, we want to go. Like we see the need. We saw the map, right? Like of where the unreached people are. And we realize we have to go, right? Because all those areas in red, like, mismatched from the purple areas, right? Like no one was going, right? So to these areas. So we see the need to go. But I think the question now is like, how do we go? Like, it seems like such a big task. Does anyone feel like it's such a big task? Like we're almost paralyzed into like, how can we go? Do you guys feel that? Yes, I see some nods. Okay. So how do we go? So this is what I wanted to ask, okay? And, you know, wouldn't it be great if God gave us an instruction manual? Like, how do we go? Like something in his word that says, like, this is what you do when you go, okay? Can anyone actually, God does give us that, okay? Can anyone think of a passage that actually Jesus himself gives us specific instructions on how to go? Can anyone think of it? And you don't have to know just the gist of the passage. I think, Alex, you're muted.
Oh, I just think of like immediately, like Acts 1:8.
Okay. Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Witnesses. And then kind of like the simultaneous but dual nature of why specifically, right? You know, Judea, Samaritan, right?
Okay. So let me share screen. Okay. So God, how does God send us? How do we go? Okay. And I want to point to this specific passage, Luke 10. This is where Jesus sends out the 72. Okay. Albeit this is a short-term kind of missions, but I want us to look at this passage and kind of glean from it, what are the principles of going? Okay. And so I do want to spend a significant time, maybe like 15, 20 minutes today, looking at this verse. Okay. These verses and kind of thinking about how do we apply this in going, okay? So I want us to go through it, just, it doesn't have to be in order, but read it, maybe I'll have someone read it, but we'll also go through it and take note of the verbs, like the action words, and like point out something that practically that we can do. This is God, Jesus is telling us to do. So can I have someone read this for us, the whole passage?
I'll read the whole passage.
Yes.
Okay. Luke 10, 1-11. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near."
Great, thank you, Janet. Okay, so thank you, Alex, for outlining these things. Like, let's go just, anyone just shout out something applicable, like something that we could do that Jesus is telling us.
I love verse 7, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give to you.
Okay, why do you love that?
I think it's very, you know, it speaks to me of being very communal with people from a perspective. I know the context says, you know, right, it's about also, you know, that's part of your wages, right? You know, having food and drink. But I think it's, it gives ample opportunity when you are able to really sit with people and eat and drink, specifically whatever they give you. Yeah, I think it creates opportunities, right, for conversation, dialogue. There's an investment there.
Sure.
And you also get to enjoy that, right? I think that's some of the key, like those are three key verbs about like investing in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great, great. And I personally love eating and drinking, so I'm so glad that Jesus told us to do so.
Yes, right, amen.
About verse 4, it says, do not take a purse or bag or sandals.
Okay.
Do not greet anyone in the road. That means God will provide for our needs. Okay. You don't have to worry about what you're going to take to eat or what you're going to wear. Right. He'll provide all your needs.
Okay, great, great. Now, that is so different even of how we send, right? Like, it kind of even goes against, like, traditional mission sending, right? Like, mission sending, we have to, like, raise support. You have to be 100% funded before you go. I'm not saying there's no wisdom to that, but, you know, in light of this verse, it's like, there's some, you know, there's some inconsistency there. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, and I like how Scott said that too, right? You know, Scott said he said something that, you know, the Lord actually, you know, you don't have to take your purse or bag or sandals because the Lord provides those. Mm-hmm. That's pretty a powerful statement, Scott. Yeah.
But the second part where it says do not greet anyone, it's mm-hmm. kind of counterintuitive because you're going on mission. Why are you not greeting people? Why are you not talking to them?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know?
Right. But I think here the meaning is probably like don't get distracted.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do not get distracted. Right. So where did Jesus send them to? To every town and place he was in. Before he was where he was about to go, right? So he probably told these two, you go to this city, Capernaum, you go to this city, right? And so there's this like, do not get distracted, right? Mm-hmm. Go to that city. If I pointed you to that, go. Don't let anything mm-hmm. distract you from that. Okay. Good. What other things? What are the things is Jesus asking us to do? It could be very simple.
There's a part that it says to ask for the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder why we have to ask for the harvest. Mm. I don't have an answer, but.
Well, what's your dilemma, your question? I know what you're going for, but.
Right. Isn't, at that time, there's plenty of harvest, right? Huh. So why is it that we have to ask for the harvest? Do we need to ask for the harvest today?
Mm.
I have a dilemma, which I don't think it's the direction you want to go, but I think because everyone around us knows Jesus, at least locally, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've heard of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So is it just to provide an opportunity to share and to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus?
Okay. What does everyone, what do other people think?
Is it to ask for harvest or to ask for workers?
Say that again, Lily.
Is it to ask for a harvest or to ask for workers?
Okay. So you're probably referring to another verse that's very similar, where it asks for, like, we ask for more workers, right? Like in that other verse, it asks for, you know, the workers are few, right? So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Therefore send out worker. It's phrased a little bit differently. But what do you guys think? I might have misspoken on that, but what do you guys think?
Well, I interpret the verse differently than Frank, I think. Because I'm just reading it as of the harvest is just the descriptor of the Lord, right? So he's just the Lord of the harvest, and then you're asking him to send out the workers.
Okay.
Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few.
Okay. Okay. Any other thoughts? So ask the Lord of the harvest, like pray, right? Simply pray, right?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay, so I wasn't interrupting somebody. I was reading on verse 9, it says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty powerful statement.
Mm.
Want to go and heal the sick? Are they talking about medical missionaries? Are they talking about representatives of God? That's a pretty powerful statement.
Okay. Okay. What do you guys think of verse 9?
I think it's hard to believe today because I don't think any of us think we have the power of healing. Like I know that's a gift and it's possible, but I don't think many of us think like we can just lay hands on somebody and heal them. So it's, I don't know, for me at least, a little hard to just trust it's gonna happen.
Okay.
I think I could be wrong, but like a lot of, you know, in the New Testament, where Jesus goes, he does a lot of healing. So healing was a big, you know, not that today is not a need, but the physical healing. Right? So I think like the latter half just combines that, hey, the healing comes, but also, you know, you're connecting it back to God's kingdom, right? It's not, in a way, almost like we don't just go in and do some good deeds and then leave without telling why we're there, really, right? Or it becomes like a social, you know, economical help of certain places without telling them the real reason why the disciples are there.
Right.
Yeah, Kai also mentioned, I think, in the past, I think you said this, like in the past they needed the healing or there's like a lot of sick. So it makes me kind of wonder, does this mean physical healing or can it just refer to other kinds of healing as well? Just as you go, be like a positive presence instead of like a physical healer.
What do you guys think?
I think it's physical and very visible.
Why would you say that, Lily?
Oh, because that's what they did. They went to heal the blind.
Yeah.
They went to heal the lame.
Right. That's exactly what Jesus did, right? He physically healed them, right? And so Kai brought up something interesting too, is like, do you guys know the debate between social action and gospel evangelism? Does someone wanna, do you guys know that tension, that ever heard of that tension before? Kai, do you want to explain? I think you were referring to it, just the...
Okay, I'll try not to mess it up. Yeah, I think one aspect of like the social, I think it's more of the focus becomes on how do we do this and all these things, right? And there could be programs, we could have more workers, but the gospel component is missing and it becomes somewhat, you know, God's kingdom just kind of, okay, if it fits into my social agenda, then, you know, that's where evangelism, that's where the gospel happens. But I think the latter focuses on, okay, this is God's heart, God's kingdom, right? But that also entails, right? How do we care for it? Like, how do we love the Lord your God, but also love your neighbors, right? With the two concepts embedded in that, where God's kingdom is not compromised because it's not a secondary priority. It's actually the main priority of the focus.
Right. So what, on one aspect, you would have people who say, oh, you're dealing with all these social things, which are good, but you're not sharing the gospel. Like you're ignoring the most important need that they have, right? Eternal salvation by not sharing the gospel. But the other hand, maybe the social action people say, well, you're just sharing the gospel, but you're actually not addressing their needs, right? And actually there's a Bible verse that says like, you know, you tell them, I'm totally messing this up, but like you're ignoring their physical needs and you're just say like, be full. Like if you're hungry, like be full, you know, like God will take care of you, but you never actually fed them. You never actually like tended to their physical needs, right? But in this one verse, we can see that no, both of them are needed, right? Heal the sick, which is very practical. And people will say, well, heal the sick, they're going to get sick again, or they're going to eventually die. No, but you're also healing something, you're attending to their immediate need, but you're also telling them about the gospel, the kingdom of God has come, right? So it's both in the single verse. Any other thoughts?
I kind of feel refreshed that there's like a simplicity in the way Jesus sends them out or sends us out. There's nowhere that he measures like success in any way. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say like you succeeded because this many people came to the Lord. It's just you go and do what you need to. Don't be distracted. Go as lambs among wolves. It's super practical, right? Like this is what it's going to look like. And in a way, like Jesus was the lamb sent out to the wolves, right? And I like that imagery, but you know, go to a house, eat what they offer you, you know, tell them about the good news. And if they don't accept, then you go to the next. You know, it's like so, so simple, and it doesn't, it's not complicated by like how well you do and what's the sign that you were effective. And, you know, there's not all of that other measures of successes there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Right. So sometimes in the missions world, we overcomplicate things. I agree with you, Cindy. Like we have all these things and the strategy and do this and do that. And those are good. You know, I'm not trying to say they're not, but I like you said, it's just a simplistic, this is a simple thing, yet it's not easy, right? And what you brought up with the lambs among wolves, what does that mean? Like, how, can anyone speak to that? Like, that's another counterintuitive thing, right? Why would you send out lambs among wolves? What happens when you send out lambs among wolves?
Wolves attack the lambs.
Yes. Do the lambs have any chance of survival?
Yeah, the shepherd is going to come and show them what's up.
Okay. Okay.
God will help them to fight off Satan this way, you know?
Okay.
The wolves are Satanists, so God will help the lambs that fight off Satan and push him away.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting question to bring up, Arthur, that, like, you know, we're described as lambs and not other type of like predator, right? We're not out there to like create conflict and fight them. But I think like the lamb goes the direction where the shepherd directs, right? And if the lamb's lost, the shepherd directs them back. But there's a guide, right? So the shepherd leads them in this area. And it kind of brings me back to, you know, the first point that Pastor Alex circles, which is like appointed. So like Jesus appointed them, like, you know, like to present day, like, you know, is every Christian appointed then, right, to this calling?
Okay. Any other takes on the lamb among wolves?
I think there was something that Frank had, you know, said in Sunday school several weeks ago, and it was the word witness, having a one of the particular meanings of that word was also a martyr, right? So I think there is a mentality of that, right? Where are we, you know, if we're all called, you know, which we are, as we've been studying this, you know, we're all called to tell of his gospel. I think there is a perspective where, you know, our lives are at risk to do that. This is not a risk-free living or risk-free like lifestyle. Yeah, so I think that's a thought that I have of that. Mm-hmm. I think what's powerful though is when I read this too, there is a, and I'm sure Arthur, you may want to go back to the lambs among wolves, but there is a perspective that even though he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, I didn't circle appointed. I was going to circle that, but you know, whoever circled that, I think was onto a pretty powerful word, right? Jesus is doing this, right? Jesus is the one appointing, right? So the Lord, our master, is appointing and he's sending us, right? And then the ask is, even when you see the harvest, you know, ask the Lord to send out more, right? And so as we're going, even as lambs, the picture that I see here is one of authority. You know, I always go back to that, like, and I've been meditating on that concept a lot. Like, why does Jesus having the authority matter so much, right? And in this picture, from verse 5 to, let's say, 9, right? When the house that you're going to is welcoming you, that means he's already prepared that, right? He's already prepared it. So then you just keep investing there. Just stay there, eating, drinking, and you are doing the healing and the telling, right? So it's both meeting the needs as well as, you know, I don't know where everybody's theology is on this, but I believe that there is miraculous so that we have the opportunity to tell, right? Of the kingdom. There's authority there. And the authority is even more magnified in verse 10, where you are not welcomed. You go into the streets and you say this, even the dust of your town, we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Like, we have authority to say, you know, this is on you. Mm-hmm. This is on you. You are rejecting not me, but my Lord and his message, mm-hmm. right? But I want to make clear, like, I've given you the gospel. The kingdom of God is here, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so I can walk away with authority and confidence and say, hey, look, I've done my part. Mm-hmm. You've not welcomed me. You've not been open, receptive to the gospel. And I can walk away. Right. You know, you're not welcoming this. And so I'm going to tell you that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I think that also goes back to the simplicity, I think, of what Cindy was talking about. You know, I was thinking about that concept here, like that we don't need, yeah, we're lambs among wolves, but we're not lambs without authority. You know, we're just lambs among wolves from the perspective of the world and the risk and, you know, right. But not in a spiritual perspective. There's like lambs with authority. That's, I don't know. That's a thought that came to my, that comes to my mind.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I do want to come back just real quick to the lambs among wolves. I kind of have a different interpretation. And I realized, like, I think people wanted to say, and I don't disagree with them, that the shepherd will save them, right? But perhaps, you know, come along with me. What if Jesus sent us as lambs among wolves to die?
Right. Yeah.
Like you send out lambs among wolves, what's going to happen to the lambs? They get eaten, right? There's like, you know, it's not like, it's, you know, there's lambs have no chance against wolves, but maybe that's the point. Maybe God sent us to die for his sake. And the reason I think that is that that's how God sent his son, right? God did not save his son, right? God sent him to die, you know? And yes, there's resurrection and that, but perhaps God is saying that, no, I want you to go and die. And as you, whether it's physically or metaphorically, you can talk about that. But when something dies, there's a verse that says, like, unless a seed falls in the ground and dies, there can be no fruit. Right. And so, and it's not a coincidence that maybe 11 out of the 12 disciples, when they went, they were beheaded, hung, they were like hung on cross. They died, right? They were sent among, like lambs among wolves. The world ate them up. But because of that, the harvest could grow, right? Like harvest could be gathered, right? So that's strong, but I believe that's what God is saying when he says that, okay?
Yeah, Arthur, that's what Frank would say. Yeah. That's very abrasive speaking there. I mean, that's very abrasive. Yeah. I mean, this is not free.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Arthur, your interpretation, as much as I don't want to agree with it, it lands there because based on what, you know, we've been studying, and it's pretty clear that Jesus is not mincing words, right? The lamb imagery is meant, the lamb is a sacrificial animal. it's meant to be slaughtered on the altar for the cleansing of sins, right? So I think, yeah, we made it very palatable. Oh, you know, we're going to get chewed out or something. No, you're going to get chewed up and swallowed by the wolves, right? But here's my question, and I'm wondering how you would answer this. How do you reconcile that with Southern California Christianity? Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile that, right? Does Jesus really say that we are to go out and we are prepared to be martyrs, mm-hmm. in that sense? Because the word certainly says that, right. But it's kind of hard to believe a, you know, soccer mom or dad in today's world would really take that approach.
Right.
You know, what happens here with the perspective course?
Right. I thank you for bringing that to home, right? Bring it home. I would answer that is that, yes, in reality, the current state we live in, most likely if we stay here, we're not going to face that type of persecution that we are going to be headed for our faith, right? But I would say a time is coming that more and more, even America is becoming not such a great place for Christians. You know, if you're just talking about like survival and like all these things, okay? And, you know, if you think about it, if you go into the areas, the darkest places of even Southern California, there's risk involved. There is a chance that you could be hurt or even killed for your faith. Now, I get it, it's very rare. Okay, but I want to go with that point because I want to bring it up and kind of transition, okay? So let me just go through different things. We've already talked about these things. I've highlighted different things, okay, that we talked about. I won't comment on everything, okay? He sent them two by two, right, in partners ahead of him. Oftentimes we go before him, before God comes and there's a revival amongst the people. Ask, we talked about that. Go, talked about that. We talked about these things, okay? Saying peace to this house, okay? Okay, and looking, there's a phrase here, looking for the man of peace, right? You're looking to find someone who's receptive. Doesn't say that they're Christian, doesn't say that they like automatically jump at believing in Jesus. It just means that someone who promotes peace, whether that's peace amongst people or amongst peace between man and God, we don't know, but just someone that you put out your feelers and you ask, is there someone who actually wants to be at peace with his brother and sister, be at peace with God, right? And you're looking for that person, okay? We talked about saying they're not moving, eating what is offered. Okay, we talked about healing and telling. We talked about going into the street and kind of like almost a condemnation. And it's interesting, the last thing I'll say is that you notice that heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to you, okay? At one, that is a hope, right, to the one who would accept it. But even to the one that would reject it, what do we say? The last verse, it says the same thing. The kingdom of God has come near. It's the same message, okay? But to one, it is hope, right? But to the one who rejected, it is a warning and that there is a judgment coming, right? So the same message, but depending on if you receive it or reject it, it has completely different results. Right, but let's go on. Okay, so because how do you erase these lines?
I was trying to do it. Maybe.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so where is this harvest? Okay. Okay, I wanted to look at this. John 4:35. Okay, I'll just read it. Don't you have a saying? This is what Jesus is saying, right? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. they are ripe for harvest. Okay. And so Jesus is in this verse saying, like, okay, don't wait. It's not 4 months. It's not preparing all these things. The harvest is right in front of you. And do you know what context this verse is from? Do you know where Jesus says this from? What happened right before this? It's with the Samaritan woman. It's when Jesus visited another area. The Samaritans were a kind of hated bunch. It was like, they were kind of like mixed between Jewish and Gentiles, kind of mud, if you will. Like, and the Jewish kind of purebloods would not like this people, right? And the Israelites avoided this area. But I think Jesus is also saying, no, look at people around you. It's right there. But the Israelites kind of had this blind spot, didn't want to go there. And Jesus says, no, look, open your eyes and look at the fields. So this is what I want to do with us today is, where is the harvest in our neighborhood in Southern California? Are there, this is kind of what bring back to what Frank was coming at, like, are there UPGs living among us? What groups of people can you think of that may historically be unreached, either economically or ethnically or from where they come from? Who are these groups of people?
I know college groups always do and youth groups always do like homeless missions, you know, so that comes to mind, like nobody wants to talk to homeless people.
Okay. Homeless people, kind of a kind of overlooked group. Okay.
I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
That I know, like college groups and youth groups always do like homeless missions.
Oh,
so right. It makes you think of those people because, like, nobody normally wants to talk to homeless people.
Okay, great. What other groups?
I think for Southern California, it's such a, or just California in general, it's such a hotbed of like immigrants, you know, like people who want to come, right? Because we're on the coast and, you know, what better place to go in America than California, right? So there's always an inflow of like foreigners, immigrants, you know, trying to come into the country through here.
Okay, yeah. Great, there's so people. Immigrants, mm-hmm. Okay. What other groups? And immigrants can be a broad category. Maybe underneath immigrants, what other specific type of immigrants?
Like foreign students.
Okay. Yeah, international students. Yeah.
What about like immigrant parents? Does that count?
Okay. Immigrant parents who bring their kids, like who want to start a better life here, right?
Yeah, or even just your own. Like if you came like as a kid or something and your parents are still in Asia and they move over after or something.
Okay. So they're not just even in college, right? They're like junior high, as young as junior high, kind of dropped off with either a relative or a homestay or something like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other groups?
Arthur, I thought about what you had said earlier about those, you know, where the passage where Jesus said, you know, like those who are looking for peace. You know, I think that really struck me, right? In any way, like peace with people or peace with God, but just they're looking for peace. So perhaps it's like political refugees,
okay,
right? People who in their home country or home villages, it's just so hard. There's it's hard to find peace. So they're coming to America for some type of hope to find peace.
Right.
But like a political refugee.
Right. Great. Perfect. Perfect. And isn't it interesting the places where they come from, whether it's students or refugees or immigrants in general, like they usually come from countries that are either poor or unreached, or politically they have problems, right, with the refugees or political asylum type people. And these historically are countries and place in the world that are hostile to the gospel and are considered unreached, but they come here, right? And so now I'm transitioning, you can see I'm transitioning from go to welcome, to bring it to kind of to us, that there's an opportunity here, right? Like we don't necessarily have to go while I've tried to stress the importance of going. It's a good thing, you know, God definitely, we need more workers out there. But what about the people that God has brought here, right? All these people, right? And these are from very different countries that we're very unfamiliar with. They have religion, like we talked about the 1040 window, right? They have religions that we are not familiar with. They have cultures, but these people, they have need, right? That they definitely have need, okay? So I want you to, this may shock you, but I wanna share this website. Let's see, okay. It's called peoplegroups.org, another website for you to look at. And if you explore, this talks about unreached people groups, things like that. But if you click explore, okay, and this maps out all the people groups, right? And green means good, right? They have a gospel. Red, obviously, it's like unreached. But let's just focus on Southern California. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, now when they put these people groups, I don't know if they just clump it in LA and call it, I don't know if it was specific to each area, but let's just click on a few, okay? You know, Armenians, okay? It's a yellow, so it's kind of in between, okay? The Burmese, and I think someone did Burmese, right? Was that Bethany?
Yeah,
Bethany.
Yeah.
Okay, Bernice, they're right here, right? Mm-hmm. They even outline the boundaries of where they are. Let's click on some red. Mm-hmm. Ugandan.
Yeah.
Ararat. Lumian. This is a people group in China as well as the Golden Triangle area.
That sounds like a dish, like a Chinese dish.
Right. But you can see, the point is that you can see there's unreached people groups here, mm-hmm. right? If we choose to look for them. So it's not within, you know, we did all these unreached people groups. We prayed for them. And it seemed like such a far off people, right? Like, how can we ever encounter them? But actually, you know, when I was researching people groups, I did mine on the Tai Lu. And this was a few years ago. And I, to my shock, is that there's 5,000 of them in Southern California. Like here was I going across the world to meet them and meet the missionaries, but they're actually right here, right? And so I want to show a video and then we will, I'm gonna introduce something for us to do. But let me share this video. Let's see, where is this? Okay, here.
I thought, oh, maybe God's calling me to the mission field, thinking I needed to go away. And then I realized that we have a mission field in the United States because we have people from every tribe and nation that come here. This is where my mission field is.
to me, a welcomer is someone who reaches out in friendship to the internationals who are coming here and provides that relationship that they need to understand a little bit of the culture, to fit in.
Often there's a real loneliness, there's emptiness and fear for some of them.
There are the professionals who are here getting higher education, working on grants from their country to learn information. And then there's a group that come as refugees. I absolutely love going into the inner city and working with refugees. They come with nothing. Two suitcases, and when they get here, they're given a little bit of money. It takes them a month before they get food stamp provisions, so they come with very little food, access to food. So finding a local food bank where you can help either give out food or just visit with the people. They were living in the housing that the government provided for them and decided that the neighborhood was not safe for their children. And they found a rental property and asked me if I would come along to see if it was a good property. He had these two applications to fill out, so I was able to help him fill out the application and get all the materials that they needed to submit.
People from all over the world are coming to this country for education.
A lot of these people are going back into government positions, and very few of them get into American homes. So it is the greatest opportunity for us to really reach out to these people and have an influence in their lives.
If you want to know whether God's truly called you to be a welcomer, would be to, first of all, get involved in your local missions program at your church and ask them if there's a church member or someone who they're familiar with that might be interested in learning English or that are learning English and they need someone to talk to. And that would be the easiest first step to do. And you set up a time and meet in a non-threatening environment like a Starbucks and speak English. And that would be your first step. And I can tell you, you speak to one international student and show them any kind of interest and kindness, and they will bring people to you.
With any of the internationals, they love when you're teaching them something. Some of them have wanted me to make apple pie with them. Others have shown me how to make other Chinese dishes. It's delicious.
We also have parties on Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Memorial Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, anybody's birthday, lots of parties.
If I meet one person from another country and make them feel even that there's one person in the United States that cared for them, that I feel like I've done exactly what God's asked me to do.
If these people who have been told all their lives that there is no God, the only way that they're going to come to understand who God is to see Jesus lived out in the flesh, and we're the only ones that can do that.
Representatives of showing Christ's love to those who don't know him. And it's been amazing because many times these students who we're reaching out to will say to us, in our country, nobody would do that.
We live in a country where we're free to share the gospel. They're free to share whatever their religious belief is. It makes it easier for God to let us know how we should share with them. And that might include helping them understand about food, helping them understand where to get clothes at a discounted price. All these things are sharing Christ's love with them, and then eventually we get to use our words and share the gospel.
Okay, everyone. So I want to end with one thing, is that we can start talking about this, is that, you know, I hope that video like kind of gave you some ideas of how we can practically welcome, right? And so I want to introduce this project that I have for this class. Okay, so this is like the final project. And like, I know it's a group project. And I know some of you, like when I say group project, you're like, oh, like you don't like group projects. You'd rather just do your thing, get done, not have to worry about other people doing their part. But okay, this is a group project, okay? What we want to do is, as a Sunday school, we want to do something that is somewhat like an outreach, okay? To unreached people groups, either refugees, immigrants, international students. And we can kind of define what that is, but it has to be kind of that unreached, okay? So it can't just be your friend, okay? Because if we hold, let's say, an event, what happens is we tend to invite our Christian friends, right, to a Christian church, right? And it kind of makes sense. They're comfortable, we're comfortable, okay? But this is not what this is for, okay? What we are wanting to do, and the task I'm going to assign everyone here, is that we're going to do something actually in the month of February, okay, that would allow us to connect with a group of unreached, and whatever, how we define that, we've just defined that before. And so I wanna put it out there to start that discussion. We'll discuss it next week, maybe Alex, if you have a few minutes to discuss it, but also we can discuss online, like emails, like shoot ideas back and forth. And then in 2 weeks, we'll also discuss it some more, but it's something to be done in February. I don't want to delay it so out, okay? And because of, let's say it's February, you know, it has to be relatively simple, okay? So it can't be this outlandish idea that we need like 6 months to prep for. We need something simple that can connect us with these groups of people. And so I'm gonna just throw it, I'm gonna open the next like 5-10 minutes up to just have people have throw out some ideas, okay? I know Alex, the Pastor Alex and Frank and I, we talked about it a little bit, but let's hold off on that first. Let everyone else kind of share. What are your thoughts on this? Sorry, Jesse, I think you're muted.
So Arthur, you know, obviously, you know, we have the Afghan refugees pretty close. I don't know how many of them there are, but 15, 20, 30 of them now. Maybe we can do a barbecue or something outside. I know everyone's kind of worried about the pandemic still. Maybe at the church facility, do something outside, like a pancake breakfast or a barbecue or something kind of fun. You know, maybe if it's too cold in the morning, maybe do like, sorry, my son wants to contribute. Maybe do like breakfast for dinner outside, you know, make pancakes and eggs and sausage, I don't know, something like that where it's outside, not too, like you said, outlandish and pretty easy to pull off. I think that'd be kind of fun and kind of neat for them.
Great. What do you guys think about that or other ideas?
I have a question for Jesse. I heard that the refugees are like in our towns. How do we know that there are like 15? Like where do we get that information?
Arthur, do you want to speak to that or do you want me to comment on that?
You can comment on that.
Lily, there's another organization. It's not a Christian organization, but they're out of Claremont. And they're in charge of housing the Afghan refugees that have come into the area. And my wife, Jacqueline, actually found the organization and Arthur's volunteered with them. And they brought in, Arthur, how many did they bring in? 17, I think, right off the bat. And then I think, Arthur, they brought in more after that. I think they're trying to house another family right now. And what they do is they have like an empty old dorm that's near the Claremont colleges, and they're basically fitting it out with furniture and all the housing necessities that they need. And yeah, so that's what they do. So to answer your question, they would have the number of how many have come over, and we would be able to contact their headquarters and ask them. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because I saw on the Nextdoor app, or maybe it was Blessings, I can't remember, that some other churches were asking for like donation, furnitures and, you know, household items and even bicycles and stuff for the refugees. So I was just curious, like, how did they, it must be the same organization then.
There's many organizations. This is just but one. Yeah, there's a lot of different organizations. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I love Jesse's idea. I thought that was great. And I think we can also practically, you know, as Lily was mentioning, you know, even in her question, I think we can even practically provide for them when they come over. We could gather, you know, find out what would really be useful to them in life and not just feed them for one meal, but, you know, and really think about like how to engage in conversation with them, you know, like what can you really, you know, what can you say and how can you provide for them practically? And just, you know, once they're here with us, we can definitely, you know, do that for them.
I think there are a lot of, even in the pandemic, a lot of Asians that just move here. Like for instance, I have an ex-colleague who just contacted me a few weeks ago, and he said he quit his job in China and he's gonna move here. And I'm like, okay, which city? And he said, Ontario. I'm like, what? That's in my backyard, you know? And he's moving by himself. His family is already in Idaho, and because they have family there. So, but he said he wants to be here because he wants to work and there's more opportunities here. So that brought me to thinking like, oh, there must be a lot of people kind of, I mean, there must be people like him that are just moving and have like nobody else in this area. So if there is a way we could somehow like reach out, maybe we could do something.
That's perfect. I feel like leverage your contacts, right? If there's a relationships, like if there are people that you know that have that need, who are recent immigrants, you know, that's perfect, you know. Any other thoughts? I know we're slightly going over, but I want us to think.
I think these are great ideas. I really like the barbecue and the breakfast idea. You have a theme. You welcome people. I'm so excited to all the possibilities. And actually, it could be a culmination to VBS too, because we're praying for a community outreach using the summer school. So it could be all these little things and bring more people from the community to VBS. And I can always, I'm always open to reaching out with art. With immigrants, you always have uncertainties about the future and you have a lot of pain and things that you hold in your heart. And with art, I think it's a great channel for friendship. It's a great channel for easing what's in your heart, you know? It's just, sometimes it's, it could be easier than just with words, easier than words, yeah, to reach people.
You great. You bring up a lot of great points, Janet. Like, even imagine the trauma of moving here, even if you're not a refugee, right? Moving to another country. And we have this experience, right? Because we're either immigrants or we're sons and daughters of immigrants, right? There's a lot of struggle when people come here, right? And then we talk about the Afghan refugees, think about their trauma, right? And if there's healing to be done, you know, through art or through relationships, that's a huge thing, you know. The other thing I wanted to comment on is I like Cindy kind of linked together, like Jesse brought up the barbecue, like relationships, but also connecting that once you, how do you find out what their needs are unless you have relationships, right? Because I'll tell you my experience, like when I first met the African refugees, I thought, okay, they needed like kitchenware, they need stuff like that. So I cleaned out this, I brought this, when I brought it to them, they said, oh, we don't need that, we have that. Okay, well, then there was a learning experience. Then I had to ask, like, what do you actually need? Like, what are the, and then they started telling me these things, right? But you can't find that out in a vacuum, right? You may think you have an understanding of what they need, but you may not, right? And so the only way to find out is to meet them and to build relationships, right? So I like the idea of like getting together, meal, you know, right? We're directly obeying something that Jesus said, right? Eat and, you know, drink.
How about if we do something with the Clement Colleges since it's so near with the international students?
Okay. Good for that. I don't have a contact at Claremont. I don't know if anyone is associated with the Claremont Colleges. Like, can they find out if they have an international students program or?
I guess I am connected. Yeah. I'm registered at CGU. But I'm like, you know, I'm taking my leave of absence.
Well, isn't Sharon Ho Jiamei the head of the Chinese department?
I don't know if she's the head anymore, but she has been, yeah. And I think we also have Lillian, but she's not really, I mean, she's at the graduate. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter though. I think those, both of those might have some information.
So maybe if someone can connect those two or three people and like you guys pursue that, look at contacts, like try to find, and it's just a simple email or simple contact, just try to find more. There may be nothing there, but you know, it's worth looking. Okay, I want to cut this time, but I want to continue the discussion. So like email everyone if you have a new idea, if like you like Jesse's idea or want to add on to that, like shoot an email to all of us and we'll talk more in the next 1 or 2 weeks. But I do want us to plan something for before February ends, so relatively soon. So get looking, if you have contacts, get looking, you know, if you have people that you want to invite to whatever we decide to do, like just ask them, simple email or a phone call or text, you know.
And Arthur, that idea is, that was your idea. I think you mentioned to me that we should get together with Afghans and do a barbecue or something like that. So
I mentioned the Afghans, but you came up with the barbecue.
I want to give you credit for that.
Yeah. We just can't barbecue pork, right? Like, so, okay. So does someone want to pray for us and then we'll end today?
I'll pray.
Okay, thank you, Janet.
Okay. Your Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new morning that that you've brought us together under your name, Lord, that we could hear your needs, hear your love for the people through this class, Lord, and help us to thank you for letting us know how to thank you for letting us have this burden in our hearts, and through studying and now through through planning and eventually through action, Lord, give us urgency, because you are a God that loves, and you want us to share this love. We thank you, and please bless today's sermon, service, Sunday service, and speak through Pastor Alex. Bless our time, and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.